One of the most fascinating things about the Christmas story is in some ways how unspectacular it all is. Oh yes, there are events that are more than hints. There are stories, there are speeches recorded in Luke and in Matthew that are more than hints that this is just somebody's birth. But it's remarkable how unspectacular much of the stories of the Christmas birth really are indeed. Yes, shepherds follow a miraculous star to Bethlehem, but when they get there, they come to a manger scene and they still look down on just a baby. It still stinks. The cows do not have smiles on their faces, despite what your manger scene might look like. There were no glowing circles around the heads of these people, despite what paintings you might have seen might tell you. And somehow in it all, Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds with wonder and amazement. Yes, they hear the great news from angels, but isn't it remarkable that they go away not remarking about angels? Isn't it amazing that though they see a multitude of angels praising God, glory to God in the highest, they're not marveling about the angels. They're not even really marveling at how it was communicated or how loud it was or what incredible trumpet-like voices they have. Let me show you what I mean in Luke chapter 2. These familiar words in verses 8 to 14. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, and say it with me, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Well, this is a sampling of Luke chapter 2. The whole chapter can be broken down, we could say, into three parts. What we've just read is Christ foretold. This anticipation, this announcement of the child who's going to be born. And really, we have to realize that this much of the Bible also anticipates and announces this very thing. It's announced in a fuller sense, in a realer sense, in a nearer sense now with these angels, to the shepherds and to Mary and Joseph and others. But this is an anticipation from them and for those who he will save, for those whose hearts are his, for those who knew their Old Testament Bibles and were anticipating for this one to come. The announcement is, in verse 10, good news of great joy. Notice that phrase, good news of great joy. What's the good news? Why will this result in great joy? No matter what I say about good news of great joy, if it doesn't produce great joy and it isn't good news to you, then it isn't, in one sense, is it? Highest of God's glory, verse 14 says. The angels praise God in the highest of ways because now, as it says in verse 14, there's peace on earth among men. We like to celebrate peace at Christmas time. We like to have that feeling of love with brothers and sisters, of mankind, we could say, of humanity. We see that the Salvation Army ringing thing outside Target, and we just smile and put in our quarter. And Christmas is about love, it's about warmth, it's about peace. But is that what this is encouraging us to do? Is this what is really meant here by the angels? On earth, peace among men. And notice this phrase, with whom he is pleased. With whom he is pleased is the basis for men and women having peace among themselves. So you say, I don't see peace in the world. Well, this passage says there's peace among men with whom he's pleased, which means to say that Jesus Christ is the answer for God being at peace with us. He must be at peace with us before we can be at peace with each other. He must change hearts before love can flow and before reconciliation can be granted. We have to know forgiveness of our own sins before we really know something of forgiveness to one another. Glory to God in the highest, or the highest of glories goes to God. Why? Because now there's peace among men, but qualification, with whom he is pleased. So here's the question. Is Jesus' birth to you the announcement of good news unto great joy because God is now at peace with you? Don't worry about your neighbors just yet. That's step two. But notice first, the condition is for those with whom God is pleased, with whom God has peace as mankind with these people. And now, in extension, they might have peace with each other. Christ is foretold. But notice secondly, Christ is treasured here. In Luke chapter 2, Christ is treasured in a number of different ways. Look at verse 18 with me. It says there, "And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds." What does that mean? They wondered? Is this just a scratching of the head? Is this just, that's curious? That's bizarre. Stars aren't like that one, are they? Angels don't normally talk to you, do they, Bill? Is that all that's going on? Well, read on in verse 19. "But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart." Now the picture is getting a little bit clearer. We're not talking about wonder like curiosity. We're talking about something of awe, of wonder, of treasuring that's going on in the heart. It also says this in verse 33. As Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple, Simeon blesses Jesus, and it says, "And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him." We see it again in verse 51. Mary, his mother, treasured all these things in her heart. What is this idea of treasuring up, of wonder, of awe? Well, I'll tell you what. It's something like fireworks in the heart, isn't it? I mean, we're groping to try to describe what they're feeling, what they're thinking, what they're going through on an emotional level, on a spiritual level, much less. And you know what? I think Luke was trying to grasp at that too. All of the words behind this English translation originally written in Greek are different words. You have back in chapter 1 in verse 66, "All who heard it kept them in mind." They kept these things in their mind. That isn't just tuck that away. It's going to be important. Make sure that doesn't slip through the memory cracks. And Mary, treasuring these things in her heart, is that just, oh, this is like one of those precious moments. I think I'll make a scrapbook out of it. We don't mean to make light, but you see that there's something more going on here. There's something of awe, of wonder that's going on as these things are being laid out before their eyes. And so we have to ask ourselves this. In this Christmas season, has there been awe? Has there been wonder? Have we been treasuring these things up in our hearts? And you say, well, Ryan, they're seeing these things before their eyes. They're seeing a baby. They're hearing an angel. I mean, at best, we hear it maybe through a person. And at worst, we hear it through old black and white print in a Bible. Isn't that different? Well, God is at work no less today than he was back then. We keep in mind the fact that there was nothing special in the baby they saw. No glow around the head. He didn't come out all smooth and unlike that baby you've seen. Your child that's been born in the delivery room, all messy. Jesus was born just like that. There was screaming going on. Cattle fled when Mary screamed. There's nothing in the circumstances themselves that lend it to a regal picture. You don't say, this is the king of the universe when there's hay and cows and it smells like dung. And there's even no room for him in the inn. And so we ask, have we wandered? Have we treasured? Have we pondered these things in our heart? Have we been amazed like Mary and Joseph who, yes, they're seeing these things before their very eyes. But keep in mind a verse like 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That's a description of what God can do in the heart of taking information, truth that you hear tonight, in, as it were, lighting a flame under it so that it's more than information, so that it's more than history, so that it's more than fable or story. Maybe you say, but they're hearing it for the first time. Okay, I mean, there's not as much awe and wonder and amazement in our home this year, and it's because it's my 54th Christmas. This was the first. This wasn't just their first, this was the first. Of course they're excited. Well, shouldn't we? All the more have wonder, awe, and amazement when we know as much as we do, when we know where this story goes. When we know that wonderful climax in the story that will lead to a cross, this baby born, as it were, to die for the payment of sins. And like those men in Luke 24 walking on the road to Emmaus in despair because they think it's over, the one they'd hoped in is now dead. They don't know that the man who walks with them is the risen Lord Jesus Christ. When we know where the story goes and how it builds and how it develops and even from here where it will go thanks to the New Testament scriptures, do we really have an excuse to not treasure and wonder and awe and ponder these things in our hearts? And get real practical here. We could say, well, the busy distractions of our 21st century American Christmas is really the thing that keeps us from awe and wonder, treasuring these things in our hearts. I mean, I'd like to treasure it in my heart, but I first have to get to the store and buy more presents. I first have to get home and wrap them, and you know, Christmas Eve night, tonight, we'll stay up late and get those last ones done before the kids wake up in the morning. If it weren't so busy, if it weren't so hectic, if there weren't so much to think about, then I would have awe and wonder and treasure in my heart. But think about Mary and Joseph. Think about their circumstances. She's 9 months pregnant. The baby's about to be born. They have to make a trek to Bethlehem. By law, they have to be there to register for a census. And so, just as they're pulling into town, the contractions start. Don't worry, Mary. We'll get you an inn. We'll find something. I know it's busy. We'll find something. We'll go to the Jerusalem 6. It's like Motel 6, but it's Eastern. And we'll ask, there's no room? Nothing? Are you sure? My wife's pregnant. She's in labor. The contractions are starting. What do? We can't have this on top of a donkey. And he says, here's a manger. You don't think they have worries? You don't think they have things on their mind? You don't think there's a lot going on in taking care of a wife and taking care of a baby that has just been born under these amazingly unusual and hard circumstances? So what I want us to gather from this is that Mary and Joseph and all who are around this picture are certainly not unusual in treasuring, in wondering, in their awe. We should too. Christ has come, and he goes to the cross, and he is risen. Christ should be treasured. What is this idea of treasuring or pondering in the heart? Remember this idea that Mary said in verse 18 and verse 19? She pondered them in her heart. It almost sounds like she tucked them away and kept them secret. Well, I'm not going to tell anybody about this. These are special days, and special days you just tuck in that top little curve of your heart and keep it to yourself. Is that really what's going on? It isn't. Look back to chapter 1 if you have a Bible. And it's interesting, in verse 64, this is Zechariah, John the Baptist's father. For a while after he heard the good news of his son, he couldn't speak. But in verse 64, at once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in praise to God. In verse 66, it says, all who heard them kept them in mind. Literally, it's cardia, mind, heart, where we get cardiac arrest. All who heard them kept them in their heart. The same phrase in verse 18 and 19 of Mary that treasured them in their hearts. But what's interesting about chapter 1, verse 66, it says they kept them in their heart and said. And said. Which means keeping it in the heart isn't tucking it away to a secret place. Keeping in the heart is something emotional and spiritual, yes, but it is something that results in speaking. Christ is the treasure. And this Christ is not just foretold. This Christ is not just treasured. This Christ is also retold. Retold. Chapter 2, verse 15, listen to these great words. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem. And it goes on from there. Look at chapter 2, verse 18. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. So as the shepherds treasure these things in their hearts, as they wonder, it can't help but be spilled out into speech. As they're going and traveling to Bethlehem, they're telling others along the way. It isn't clear, but you have to wonder. No one joined them? I bet maybe some did. Really? There's one there in Bethlehem who's going to be born king of the Jews? I'll check this out. And they travel with them. They're speaking to others. We see it in chapter 2, verse 33. His father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. Being said about him. People are talking about this. This isn't time to tuck it away. This is time to talk and say, we could say. We see it again in chapter 2, verse 38. At that very moment, she came up and began to give thanks to God. First, she's talking to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Christmas is a time to talk, not just smile. Christmas is a time to speak of Christ, not just give presents that speak of Christ. We give presents as a symbol of God's great gift to humanity in Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave Christ, his son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So we see in all of this that Christ is the treasure, that the treasure is to be treasured. But this treasure, unlike other treasures, does not diminish as you give it out. Think about it. Every treasure that exists, except this one, as you give it out, it disappears. With some treasures, you don't even tell people you have them. They're that precious. With some treasures, you keep it and hide it away, and you don't even show it. They're so precious. Maybe with some treasures, you would be so brazen, so maybe even giving, as to lay it out on display. Look, this is George Washington's original quarter. I don't know. I don't even know if that's worth anything. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Whatever it is, this sword from Louis V, and you put it out for others to see. Maybe you would go so far as to give it to a museum or put it on loan in a museum. But every treasure but this one, as you give it out, it disappears. It's the nature of things. They can't multiply themselves. So as you give from your treasure chest naturally gets smaller. except with Christ the treasure. Christ is the treasure. He is to be treasured at Christmas time and all year round. And we are to give this treasure away. Christmas time is a time to go and say. It's a time to go and speak. It's a time to go and join with the angels in the greatest of privileges to say, highest of glories to God. Because now people can get along because God is at peace with men. So the question is God at peace with you? Have you looked to the sun and, like these, gone from treasure to belief? Said, yes, this is the Christ. Yes, he is worthy. And I believe he is my hope. It's kind of like Simeon. Look at chapter 2, lastly, as we finish this up, in verse 28. This is Simeon, a priest in the temple. And he took Jesus into his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, that is, to die, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said. Can you imagine this kind of peace? To be able to say, I've seen him, now I can die. Is there even one thing on your radar screen? I've done it, now I can die. Simeon says, I've seen him. Now I can die. Can you imagine that kind of peace? To say, okay, take me. That's it. That's what I've lived for. Can you imagine that kind of singular purpose in your life? To be able to say, this was it. This is what I've been waiting for. I saw him. I know. I believe. I'm done. Can you imagine this kind of hope? Where he doesn't wonder what's on the other side. Because he's seen the salvation of his Lord, he knows. Can you imagine that? You can imagine it. You should imagine it. And you can have it tonight. So we're praying that God would move in your heart in such a way that you treasure Christ, you trust Christ, and you live a life glory-filled talking of Christ like Simeon. Now ready to die.